The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. This is News Online. Today is Wednesday, December 20, 2023. The second session of the 10th Legislature of the National Assembly of People's Power of Cuba began at the Havana Convention Palace after previous debates by permanent working commissions of the legislative body. The ordinary plenary session of the Cuban Parliament will address, until Friday, issues of vital importance of the national agenda, some of which have already had the critical look of the deputies. The closing day will present and analyze the draft laws on public health, the military prosecutor's office, and the system of attention to complaints and petitions. As a culmination, the more than 400 deputies of the National Assembly will receive an update of the legislative schedule for the year that is ending and the programming of the parliamentary activities for 2024. Likewise, the agencies and provincial governments that will render account in the month of July will be decided. Cuba's Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez denied on Tuesday the slanderous accusations without foundation or pieces of evidence from the United States that Cuba has interfered in its electoral processes. On X, the foreign minister rejected the resurfacing of such imputations, which he said are a total fallacy on the part of a government that usually meddles in the political affairs of many countries. Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Fernandez de Cosío posted on X that the U.S. government persists in defamations. It tries to justify its criminal policy of economic aggression. We reject the illegal U.S. practice of meddling in the internal affairs of others. However, contrary to what they try to attribute to Cuba, there is a long and documented history of U.S. interference in electoral processes in other countries. Just in Latin America and the Caribbean, the list would be endless. With the presence of the leader of the Cuban Revolution, Raúl Castro, and the President of the Republic, Miguel Díaz-Canel, the second ordinary session of the National Assembly of People's Power began its 10th legislature. Gathered at the Havana Convention Palace during this session, the deputies will analyze the objectives and goals of the economy for 2024, how the process of implementation of the Family Code, Law 114 of the Penal Process, and a group of agreements and decrees laws of the Council of State be ratified. During this session, which will be held until next Friday at the Palacio de las Convenciones in the capital, the work of the provincial governments of Las Tunas and Cienfuegos will be evaluated. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel valued the existence of the Cuban-American joint company Innovative Immunotherapy Alliance S.A. as very significant and an example of the potential in scientific collaboration. When receiving directors of the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center this Monday, Díaz-Canel stressed that the possibilities of scientific, technological, economic, and cultural exchange between the two Cuban and the North American peoples have enormous potential. 5 years ago, this prestigious American scientific institution and the Center for Molecular Immunology of Cuba jointly created the joint venture WA. 5 years ago, this prestigious American scientific institution and the Center for Molecular Immunology of Cuba jointly created the joint venture 2A. The Cuban had aligned the significance of this Cuban-American biotechnology company. Part Dr. Thomas Schwab, Director of Strategic Development at the Roswell Park and head of the Delegation of American Scientists Visiting Cuba on the occasion of the 2A anniversary, considered it an honor and a pleasure to meet with Diaz-Canel. He mentioned that a meeting of the board of directors addressed the progress made in the last 5 years. Among the achievements in scientific collaboration, he highlighted the publications generated and the patents submitted for registration. The renowned researcher also highlighted the benefits of this joint venture for North American and Cuban patients. The difficulties, priorities, and perspectives of tourism in Cuba are today in the limelight of the island's main press media, with a view to the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. Cuba Debate published on Tuesday elements of interest addressed in the National Assembly of People's Power of this island on the subject. It was pointed out that the behavior of the tourism sector in the current year was discussed in the Commission of Attention to Services of the National Assembly of People's Power, with the participation of Cuban Prime Minister Manuel Marrero and the head of tourism, Juan Carlos García. With around 2,250,000 visitors up to October this year and a 50% growth with respect to 2022, tourism fell short of the 3 million visitors planned for 2023. Among the obstacles to growth are the absence of a systemic approach to be integrated in destination management, the restriction of payment methods for services and offers, the deterioration of infrastructure to support tourism activities, the insufficient Among the obstacles to growth are the absence of a systemic approach to integrated destination management, the restriction of payment methods for services and offers, the deterioration of infrastructure to support tourism activities, the insufficient preparation of local governments to guarantee tourism management, and difficulties with human capital. Manuel Marrero recalled that tourism is one of the sectors most affected by the intensification of the blockade and external actions to discourage it, and mentioned the impact of COVID-19 on the national tourism sector. It was a report by Prensa Latina Radio in the voice of Hilda Gil. And in the international agenda, we have that members of dozens of Argentine human rights, social, and union organizations will rally to denounce the adjustment plan and the anti-protest measures enacted by the government of Javier Milei. The demonstration coincides with the 22 anniversary of the social outbreak of the 2001 that led to the resignation of the then president Fernando de la Rúa, and which, among one of its objectives, is the condemnation of the adjustment and misery plan of Milei and the International Monetary Fund, and for the defense and the rights to protest. Last week, the Minister of Economy, Luis Caputo, announced the elimination of subsidies, the devaluation of the Argentinian peso, the end of public works, the reduction of ministries, layoffs in the state sector, and the minimum reduction of transfers to the provinces, among other measures. The Minister of Security, Patricia Bullrich, reported that the Gendarmerie, the Naval Prefecture, the airport, and the Federal Security Police, as well as the penitentiary system, will intervene in pickets and partial or total blockades of roads or public places. Meanwhile, the Association of Mothers and Relatives of Disappeared Detainees in Uruguay called for a rally to demand the identification of the remains of a woman found in a military camp last June. On June 6, the remains of a woman were found in an area belonging to the headquarters of the 4th Parachute Infantry Battalion of Toledo in the department of Canelones, where detainees of the military dictatorship were tortured and murdered. The identity of the deceased woman could not be established despite the work made by the National Human Rights Institution, the Ombudsman's Office, the Forensic Anthropology Research Group, the Argentine Anthropology Team, and the Special Prosecutor's Office for Crime Against Humanity. The lack of data on the discovery and identification of the victim calls to mobilize once again, demanding that those who have the information, who can shed light on this issue, remain silent, keeping its identity kidnapped. The remains of teacher Julio Castro and those of Ricardo Blanco, who were detained by forces of the dictatorship, were found in the area of Battalion 14 in October 2011. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unite us.